Welcome one and all to another episode of the TBNP. I am one of your hosts here, Mo, coming at you guys. I'm going to introduce my other host, Ryan.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to the show.
And my brother from another brother. No, I'm just kidding, my real brother,
Ruby. I'm like, hold on. I'm pretty...
Get the DNA test.
What you know that I don't? He's
like, hey. What up, everybody?
So, today we got a very, very special episode for you guys. A little lovey-dovey episode. This is going to be our favorite rom-com movie to watch. Okay, so we all have different movies that we watch, and we're going to rate them for you guys today. Before we get into that, we got some news. Not a whole lot, but we got a little bit. So we're actually going to go ahead and share with you guys today some of that news. Kick it off with the first row.
All right. Well, the only thing I got is... I believe Ryan had mentioned this series, the Ninja Kamui, that he was excited about.
Yes, sir.
Coincidentally, I watched, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch it.
Sure did, sir.
Yeah, damn, the violence sure on did. This anime. I mean.
That was the first episode?
Off the dome, I would give it like a 4.8. Like a 4.
Easy, huh?
Like, oh, damn. 4.8, bro. Just
damn. I'm right there with you. I'll give it a 4.5 just because I want to see more. You know what I mean? No, I
want
to see,
bro. Like, it's like, what more do you want? You got blood and violence, like, and then it's like hardly any talking. You know,
barely any dialogue. Yeah,
what you mean? I was talking about it with another friend. It obviously got my attention, but like, I don't know if I give it like the highest praise. It's definitely a 4. Like, right, I'm not gonna give it like
It was cool.
4.5
and 4.5. You're definitely gonna keep watching it, pretty much, right?
I told him I'll watch it at least the next three, you know, just to see if the story intrigues me enough. Did you guys watch it subbed or dubbed?
I watched it dubbed.
Same though.
What?
Yeah,
I got
it. Well, when I watched it, they only had a dub. I don't think I could find the sub, I guess.
I watched the original format, I guess. I would have preferred it in
there. It sounded good. It didn't sound bad at all. So I was like, oh, okay, I don't mind. Okay.
I'll check it. I'll still watch it. It was definitely like the animation crisp, man. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll check it out.
Well, second episode comes out tomorrow, so yeah, finna be watched that.
Literally, for me, it was like John Wick, but in animation. Like, that's kind of vibes gave me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
definitely good concept.
All right, Ryan, what you got?
So most of my news is Marvel based. So first off, any of the fans of the X-Men in the 90s got a big surprise this week because they dropped a trailer for X-Men 97. And it's good because you have to know what happened in the 90s version to know what's going on, because they literally based this off the last episode of that series.
Yep.
So it's a continuation of it. Not only did they do that, but the animation style damn near look... bro. Like, it looked like the same animation, but
just cleaned up a lot.
Yeah, like, they cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Some people were complaining that they took away Rogue's hams, you know. She's looking a little thin.
Looking a little flat.
You know what y'all doing, Marvel? Let it out. That was Rogue's thing. She was supposed to, you know, she was the one.
That's how you know.
But, you know, I guess they're like, no, we can't have her being sexualized. So,
man.
I don't know. Shame on you, Marvel. I don't appreciate that.
But, well, they're owned by Disney now, so, you know, they got a Disney.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. But, like I say, as far as I mean, there was some controversy. I didn't read the story. Some fans were upset, but I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there's always somebody. Yeah, but I'm good, bro. I'm ready. So that's coming out next month. So y'all stay tuned for that.
Because Marvel been lacking in the animation department, so hopefully they can bring that fire.
100% facts. So that's next month. Then you have the official cast for Fantastic Four.
Saw that.
Oh, yeah.
They dropped out on February 14th with this, like, it's like a Valentine's Day card.
Yeah.
And it's like 60s themed. So everybody's thinking that it's going to take place in the 60s, which, I don't know, they could. Who knows?
Question. Who would you rather have as John Reese? Who they got
as
now? Reed Richards. John Krasinski or who they chose, forget his name.
Well, that's what I was going to get at. So basically, like Ruben said, Reed Richards is going to be played by Pedro Pascal.
There you go, Pedro Pascal.
Sue Storm is going to be played by Vanessa Kirby. I don't know if you guys remember who that is.
Yes.
Gorgeous woman, so good casting on that. Evan Ross Backrack is going to be Ben Grimm, aka The Thing. And you have Joseph Quinn going to be Johnny Storm, hey. Human Torch.
I can see all of them. It's just
now.
It's just Pedro.
Two of
Pedro.
These is perfect casting for me. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And that will be Sue
yeah.
and Ben. But Johnny and Reed.
I'm cool with Johnny.
Nothing against Joseph Quinn. I like dude. He hasn't done anything that, to be fair, I haven't really seen him in a lot. So, you know, only seen him in Stranger Things, the last season of Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
But do I see him as like cocky? Like just, I don't know. He don't have a look for me. And I hate to say this, it's going to sound like, but to me, Johnny Storm has to have blonde hair, blue eyes, bro. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. I know that's not fair like to this actor, but I don't know. I don't know. Then that's supposed to be your sister. I'm supposed to believe that you related to Vanessa Kirby. Like they both had blonde hair, blue eyes. So they're supposed to be brother and sister, bro.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm not feeling that so far, but like I say, that's just off the casting. I'm not knocking his acting ability, so we'll see. And then, obviously, to me, the elephant in the room is Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm 100% not feeling my boy as Reed Richards. And like I say, this is not a jab at Pedro Pascal. Dude is a great actor. But at the same time, he's the Mandalorian. He's in The Last of Us. Like, saturation of this dude right now is crazy. And I don't want him, like, not get work, but why?
Right,
there's other people that could have been Reed. And it didn't have to be John Krasinski, which, to be fair, Ruben, to answer your question, I would not have preferred. Yes, that would have been my choice. But there's other actors that could have played that role. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would
just picture like how he looks in the comics, and I could just see John better like fit that role. Just visually, whatever.
Absolutely.
Not, like I said, it's not about the acting or anything.
It's just visually, he looks he's Reed.
Right.
He Pedro Pascal looked like Pedro Pascal. He just looks like Pedro Pascal. I don't know how to explain it. Like he plays that character. He's that. You know. I don't know. But he's good at it. So
because we'll he don't got no mask or anything. It's just him.
So we'll see. Like I said, but as of right now, y'all 50-50. What would you say, Ruben? How you feel about the casting?
No, I like everybody except.
I'd probably say I'm 50-50 too.
I'm
leaving it just, you never know. They might do a good CGI. Might actually be able to pull it off.
That's another thing I'm kind of worried about. But I mean, we're a little better with CGI now. So, because obviously he's going to have rubber powers, and rubber powers are hard to translate in like live action. So that's going to be interesting to see.
That's true.
And then obviously everybody's like worried about how the thing's design is going to be. Because they didn't like the last Fantastic Four. They didn't like how he looked. Yeah. I actually did. But a lot of people were complaining about that. And obviously you got the one from the early 2000s where they had like a physical bodysuit on him.
That one's cool. I like that one.
For the time, now it looks horrible. But for the time, it worked. So I don't know if they're going to go practical with this or they're going to do CG. So I'm a little curious how they're going to go that route. But obviously I'm just glad they got a casting out the way. So we have I think it said 2000. So next year, 2025. So we got a release date as well. So that's good. So they're giving us something. I'll take it.
Okay.
And the last bit of news is about Miss Madam Web.
Hey.
Now,
bring the heat.
This is like really like one of the most like critically panned movies of the year so far. Like I have yet to see a positive review. And I think right now I didn't look, but I think the last time I checked was a 15% on Rotten Tomato. So I want to say it's the lowest rated Marvel movie. I think that's pretty between that and the Eternals. I don't know if you want to check, Ruben, but between the Eternals, what that one got, and
The Eternals was pretty bad too.
But
I didn't think it was that bad.
The Eternals. I watch it right now. Like, I don't know what people were talking about, which brings me to my point.
Too many actors. I think too many.
You would think. Now let me ask y'all something. When y'all know what you know what kind of movies I'm into, you know how I rate movies. What if I let you guys down on telling you what a movie was, and y'all end up like you right or you wrong?
No, you've been pretty spot on, brother. Like you've been damn near like what we would think. Like what you think is probably what we would think. So
the reason why I ask that because also I have a beef. I have a beef with Hollywood, and I have a beef with comic fans right now.
Oh Lord,
I'm mad at y'all equally. I'm mad at the fans because some of the people that are rating this movie are doing it for views. They're not even talking about stuff in the movie. They're just saying how bad it was, which leads me to believe they didn't watch the movie. They're just going off what other people are saying.
Right.
So now it's like, yeah, they bandwagoning it. Second of all, like Hollywood, because to be fair, and let me get this out the way.
Go ahead.
As far as the direction, story, performances, visuals, and score, I'm giving all of that a 0.5. All of it.
Okay. Okay.
It's serviceable. So that brings my score to a 2.5 out of 5. This is a non-rotten movie. It's non-Black Christmas.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't know what the hell people were talking about. Because to be fair, was the writing awkward? Yes. Was the visual effects off? Yes. Was there a bad ADR in this movie? Yes. Was it like a script from the 2000s? Absolutely. But to say this movie is as bad as everybody's saying is nuts. I'm sitting there watching, bro. I'm literally watching this movie like, okay.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about? Like, I've seen worse. I watch a lot of movies. Y'all know I consume lots of media. And I can tell you way more movies. They're saying this movie is worse than, what they say? Like, this is the worst. They're saying it's worse than Aquaman. Like, what? That's
it. Yeah.
And they're comparing it to Morbius too. And again, I didn't think that movie was that bad.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't think Morbius was that bad, actually.
That's my problem right now. I'm like, what are you guys, what's happening, man? Like, I see the complaints, but come on, bro. Like, it's not that bad. And like I said, would I tell you guys to run to the theaters and watch this? No, I won't.
Right.
I did that so y'all don't have to.
Thank you, sir.
Fans as well, listening to the show. I did that for y'all. Like, I'm not going to tell you not to watch it because it's not that bad. Okay. It's just a little too late. I will say that. It came out past the time where this script was relevant, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. This feels like it belongs in the early 2000s.
Well, that's what they were talking about. It was, you know.
And like I said, I didn't have a problem with the acting. Some of the line delivery was a little weird, but you got to put credit to the director because they said cut and this is good.
Mm-hmm.
You got to blame who's to blame. The actors are, you know, they do what they do. They embellish sometimes, but at the end of the day, the director has to take reins, right? So, like I said, it was some lines. I was like, things happen. It's some corny stuff. I'm not going to sit here and tell y'all this is the best movie. It's not. I'm not going to tell you this movie is great. I'm not going to tell you it's good, but it's okay.
But that's what I'm saying. But you're giving it to us how it's supposed to be, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
But it seemed like everybody was just more focused on the bad.
Literally, it has nothing bad to say about this movie. And I don't think that's fair to it, like I said. And a little tidbit of info. I was going to see it on release day, on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? I got a theater down the street.
Okay.
I looked and it was sold out. Every single showing was sold out. So regardless to what people were saying, because the review embargo lifted like the day before the movie came out, so people already knew, you know, where this movie stood,
right,
and it was still selling seats. Right. So there are fans like me that's still like, you know what, I'm gonna go see it myself. I'm not gonna sit here and let these people tell me this movie is bad, especially when these people let me convince me that The Flash was good. You remember how good people saying The Flash was? I'll let y'all tell me, and I got excited, and when I saw that movie, I was pissed. Like, what was y'all watching? So, I'm at the point where I'm not going to start. I'm going to go see it.
We make our own opinions, brother. We make our own opinions.
Now, the only time, like I say, that I didn't or I won't is if the franchise sucked and I know. Like, Aquaman 2, you know, I didn't like the first one. Why would I go see the sequel?
Okay.
It's not like I don't want to support it, but I already know what you're giving me. Mm-hmm. And I know it was the same director. I seen the trailer. I was like, no, I'm not. So it's not that I'm just picking and choosing what movies I don't watch. If your franchise come and give me a movie and it sucks and you make a sequel and I don't see it, don't be mad at me. Mm-hmm. Especially when I see it's the same people behind it. You know, that's like I say, Venom 2. I'm like, you know what? Let's go see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, me and him, we like to go to the movies. And I wasn't excited about it. He wasn't excited about it. And to be fair, I probably wouldn't have saw it in theaters. It's just like, you know, we bored. Yeah. Why not? It's a Marvel movie.
I'd never be that bored, bro.
That's the thing. I knew. But did I know it was going to be that bad? Hell no.
Yeah.
Wow. That movie's pretty bad. To compare that, this movie with Venom 2 and Aquaman is unfair.
So
and Morbius. No, it's not even. To compare to those three movies, it's freaking great. Yeah, so like I said, I don't like how, you know, people are just like trashing this movie, man. I don't think it deserves it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Ryan. And so to go to say, I was going to give you your ratings on Rotten Tomatoes for the Eternals, 47%, and audience score got 77.
See?
For Madden Web, it got a 13%, but the audience got 54, so.
Thank you. Hey. What did I give it? A 2.5.
There you go. It's, people think it's cool. It's okay.
I'm telling you, it's not like, why? I don't understand. Like the major critics are just shitting on this movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's warranted, man. But the fans, I'm glad the fans are, the rating's higher. It makes sense. Cause like I say, it is a 2.5. So I would
say,
at
the end of the day, it's like,
that's what matters.
As long as the fans like it. Cause that's who's paying to see these movies. So
yeah. Yeah, it's a decent movie, and I say, you know, once it gets to Disney Plus, y'all go ahead and watch it. But I wouldn't, I'm not going to encourage you guys. If you're already paying for Disney Plus, you're going to be able to watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm assuming it's coming to Disney Plus anyway. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. But whenever you can stream it, I would say stream it. Like, yeah. But as far as like spending like $20 for a movie ticket, it's up to you. Like I said, if you're like me and you're curious, you want to give it a chance, you just like, you know, the theater experience, I would say go for it because it's not bad.
Yeah.
Now, based off of the cast, do you think it's more of a chick flick, or do you think it's cool? Like,
well, I think the point of this movie was to, right. I think the point of this movie was to introduce the Spider Women into film.
Oh, word.
Because to be fair, Madam Web doesn't really have a lot of power.
Yeah.
Besides her, you know, her
psychic ability.
Yeah, but other than that, she's not really like, as far as like being in action, she doesn't have that.
True.
So, but that's why they put these three in here, the three Spider Women that they did introduce, to hopefully get them their spinoffs. So that's just pretty much what those launchpad movies, pretty much.
I got you.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know if these girls are gonna get their own movie because how it's performing. I don't think it's gonna make its money back. It just don't look like it's going to.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that's the plan of this movie, but it was just badly executed. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes for that one. Well, now we're gonna start off with the meat of the episode. We're gonna get into our favorite rom-com movie, and coincidentally, this the movies that we picked just happen to be most of them were black rom-coms that we like.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes hand in hand because this is the month of February, and you know, in honor of Black History Month, we thought it'd be a good idea to incorporate that with our episode.
Yes, sir.
So for my pick, this is one that I had never seen before, and I actually saw a little bit of it, and I was like, I'm dive into it. I saw the cast, and I saw a little bit of information on it, and the movie is called Waiting to Exhale. I don't know if you guys
classic
heard of this movie. Nice, Ryan. Nope. No,
I haven't seen that.
To just give you guys a little bit of information, this is a romance drama directed by Forrest Whitaker.
So what?
Yeah.
And his directional debut, written by Terry McMillan and Ross Bass, who based the story off McMillan's novel in 1992.
Damn.
This movie came out at times when urban dramas, aka hood movies, were the primary genre for black filmmaking. And so this movie divided some of the narratives typically in the early 90s by exploring different social class of black while emphasizing relationships with each individual. While many urban dramas were staples in the 90s, some of them didn't do that good, but this one actually did really good. And this movie it grossed, I think, $62 million. And it was actually on a $16 million budget.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, came up.
Yeah.
Huge come up.
The soundtrack, though, for this movie is really good.
Fire soundtrack.
Yeah. I bet.
And I mean, just the people that were in it, right? It's crazy. But the soundtrack had just as much success with Babyface writing and producing most of the album. It reached number one on the weekly U.S. Billboard 200 and U.S. top R&B hip-hop albums. It also earned several Grammy nominations, including the winner for Best R&B Song, Exhale,
By Whitney.
Damn. Yeah,
by Whitney Houston. Written by Babyface. So, dang, classic movie.
Classic soundtrack.
Soundtrack. Cast. Wait till I tell you the cast.
Come on, Whitney.
Damn.
You got Whitney Houston.
Of course.
Angela Bassett. That's my bae right there. Loretta Devine. Lila Rochon.
That's right.
I said that right. Gregory Hines, Denise Haysbert, Michael Beach, Leon Wendell, Donald Faison. That's the guy from Scrubs. Jeffrey D. Sams. You know, so bunch of people, bro. So can you tell me a little bit, Ryan, when you saw this movie, or do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
I don't think I saw this in theaters, obviously. I mean, I don't think I see. You said 92, right? So 92 is my movie. I would have been between 14 and 15. I'm not really a rom-com dude, so I doubt if I saw this in theaters. I seriously doubt it. But I did watch it once it came to video, obviously. So I probably saw it maybe a couple months. I probably saw it in my mid-teens.
For sure. Nice.
And I loved it. Like it was a good movie. I'm not even a rom-com dude. So
yeah,
I was like, it's a good movie, man.
Especially in your teens, you know, that's not really like your teens forte or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll give you guys the synopsis on this one. So they're navigating through their careers, family, and romance. Four friends bond over the shortcomings in their love lives, namely the scarcity of good men.
Mm-hmm.
Both as the other women, Savannah, Whitney Houston, and Robin, Lila Rochon, carry on relationships with married men, each believing their lovers will leave their wives for them. On the flip side, Bernadine, Angela Bassett, ends up alone with her husband when her husband divorces her for his mistress. Meanwhile, Gloria, Loretta Devine, finds love with a new neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just a little synopsis.
Sound like a rom-com to me.
Is it?
I ever heard a synopsis with that. That seems rom-com to me.
Yeah, so for the direction of this movie, I gave it a 1 full point. I thought it was really good. You know, it has its, you know, obviously its ups and downs. But it ultimately has a happy ending. The story and originality, I give it a 1 as well. Really like the story because ended on a happy note.
Yeah.
Performances, I gave it a 1.
Oh, absolutely. Bro, yeah.
Everybody did good job on this movie. Visuals, I only gave it a 0.5 on this one just because I felt like they had like a lot of sex scenes. But without the sex scenes, I was like, man, every like 10 minutes they're making love in this movie, which is cool. But I was just like,
You're not a fan of sexy movies?
You're going to give me blue balls throughout the whole movie. Like,
fair enough.
It's cool. And then score and sound design, obviously, had to give it a 1, bro. The soundtrack had me vibe. I was Shazamming some of these songs. I was like, who sings this song? You know what I'm saying? I was like,
damn.
It's the name of this song, bro.
Check it out, Ruben. Check out that soundtrack when you get a chance, bro. It's like, there's a number of bangers on there.
Yeah.
And it's back when everybody was hot. Faith Evans, Drew Hill was on there. Damn. Whitney Houston, obviously, bro. Anybody that was hot in R&B in the 90s is on that soundtrack. So, definitely check it out.
Yes, sir. Yeah, but man, just the key things on this movie.
And that was, your score was a 4.5 out of 5 total.
Yes, sir. I got it to a total 4.5 out of 5. This is a movie I definitely
What would you give it right off the dome?
Oh, yeah, just by memory bank.
You give it a 4.
What about you, Rob? Just by from the synopsis of what you think.
It sounds like a drama.
I think you'll like it, bro.
I
can easily use giving it between a 4 and a 4.5 between me and Mo.
For some reason, I think those bland rom coms are just done better for whatever reason. Because of the music selection, too. Who doesn't want hip hop music? Who doesn't want hip hop music?
Well, there's a reason to me for that. I know for my movie, it was directed by a black man. Mo's movie is directed by a black man. You'll get to yours when you get to yours. But I think that helps. Obviously, that you know how they react in certain situations because you're filming it from that perspective. So that helps a lot.
Because now
that's black led, but it's directed by, I hate to say it, someone other than black. you don't really get the culture like that. You know what I mean? It's better when it's directed by somebody of that culture. So that helped a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so I'm just go through this movie as quickly as I can. We start off with Whitney Houston, Savannah, a.k.a. She's going from Denver to Phoenix. And I guess she tried her luck in Denver and didn't find any men. Going to Phoenix to try her luck out there. Angela Bassett, she's playing Bernadine, a.k.a. Bernie. she's with the kids, you know, she's the one that's married. She's, you know, running errands at the beginning of the movie. She talks about picking up her husband's clothing and all this stuff. Then we got Loretta Devine, who plays Gloria Matthews. In the beginning, she's I think it just shows a little bit of her and her son. And I guess in the movie, her husband left and she's raising her son by himself. Mm-hmm. And then we got Lila Rochon, Robin Stokes. She's just, you know, walking in the sidewalk. You know, there's like guys kind of calling her, and she says that her favorite type of guy is a black guy with a big stick. Hey, which, hey. Ain't go wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
We know what that means.
Yes, sir.
No, I don't know what that means. Ruben, why don't you tell us what that means, sir?
Elaborate for us, sir.
You ever seen a tripod? You know that one that, you know, it's not lubed up too much, so they'll just swing out sometimes. That's
call it a swinging door.
Hey,
yeah. So then, basically, in this movie, Whitney Houston's trying to find love. You know, she talks about how she had her previous lover, but he got married. And he talks about, I forget old dude's name, but it's the guy that plays the Allstate commercials, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget his name, but I don't want to butcher his name.
You mentioned it in the cast.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the names. When you say it, I know it, but yeah.
Sorry, stud cast. I forget the other dude's name too, though. But
Dexter Haysbert.
Dennis Dexter Haysbert. Hey, yeah.
He's actually in my movie too.
You got Wesley Snipes in here too, bro.
Oh yeah.
And then, yeah. So she talks about how she got in a relationship with him, but they stopped because he got a girl pregnant. He had a daughter, and then he married her. But then he goes back, you know, to her after all these years, and she's like tempted because she doesn't know what to do. And the funny thing about this Whitney Houston is she has a good relationship with her mom. And old boy keeps calling her mom to get information on Whitney Houston. That's how he got her number. That's how he found out where she was staying at. And, you know, her mom likes him a lot. Yeah, even though she knows the situation,
right?
And but in the end, she just didn't want her to end up, you know, being alone, just like her mom and stuff. So it's funny a little bit in the at the end, because they go back and forth. She's all telling them like, I don't want to be with him, and her mom's like, you know, he's a good guy, this and that. She's like, you know what? If you like him so much, then you fuck him. She hangs up on him.
I'm laughing, bro. Damn.
But the good thing is, like, she calls her right back. She's like, you know what? Sorry for raising my voice.
She's like, better.
I'm still serious about what I said about, you know, not liking them and stuff. She's like, but I apologize. So it's a heartfelt movie where it's like you have, you know, drama, you have heartbreak. Even in the beginning with Angela Bassett, as soon as they go to her scene, she gets dumped. Her husband just tells her, like, she's over there getting her hair done, bro. She's like fixing herself up. And he's like, how disappointed would you be if you don't go to this party? And she's like, well, I'll be crushed. He says, well, I'm actually taking somebody else.
Cold.
And damn.
When she finds out that it's not just anybody else, it's a damn. White girl. Bro, it's damn.
She went off.
You jive turkey sucker ass.
That whole scene is like rooted in like classic like 90s black movies. Like that scene when she went off. Just tell your brother what she did.
She gets all mad, bro, thinking about it. I like that scene because she gets home and she's just saying all these things that she was holding for years, bro. Like, you know, you motherfucker, when you did this, when you did that. She grabs literally all his belongings, takes them to the Benz. I think it was a Benzo. Puts them in the sunroof, lights that motherfucker up with petrol.
Damn.
And fucking lights it on fire, and it's in front of her house. The fire, she's chilling in her room, in her house, smoking a cig.
Classic.
The fire department comes in. They're like, ma'am, do you know your car is on fire? He's like, I did not know. And they're like, ma'am, you can't just be
putting
shit on fire. She's like, the fireman's like, the only thing you can set on fire is trash. And she says, that is trash. Oh, that's a bunch of like, tuxedos, you know what I mean? You
got everything. Everything he had in there, put it in the car and set that mess ablaze, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn.
You know, it's pretty much told me, don't mess with a black woman. No,
like,
damn. Black woman, you know what I'm saying? But yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
Went wild. But it was, you know, it was justified, you know what I mean? She felt, she had two kids with them in the movie, so, you know, the whole divorce process really gave you a scene of, like, how ugly it can get, you know,
right.
Close to the
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we go on to Gloria Matthews, Loretta Devine. Man, I had a lot of love for her. She's this beautiful actress. And then even in the movie, like, just her morals and stuff, she's the one that got her husband left her. And we actually find out later on in the movie that he actually he was bisexual, and then he actually turned fully gay.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So that's got to be a blow as a woman. You know what I mean? So luckily she finds, you know, love in a new neighbor. You know
yeah.
I mean? You know, nice, hunky little dude. And her son's already older, so as soon as she goes away, well, she was kind of thinking that too. Remember, Ryan, like, you know, for the longest time, my son was the only man I ever had in my life.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, dang, you know. But luckily, that's when he came in. Her neighbor, she was like, "I love you. I love you too." Like,
mm-hmm.
And she was single for who knows how long. You know what I mean? It was nice to see her get her happy ending.
Yeah,
and then we got Lila Rochone Bay. I got a lot of love for her too.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Stokes. She plays just, you know, a young girl that's beautiful, trying to figure it out.
Mm.
Obviously, they show a lot of instances where they get bamboozled. Robin,
yeah,
obviously getting bamboozled a lot. But she at the end, she actually gets knocked up by that one actor. He plays Cool Running, the old boy.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. I forget his name too. But I know what you're talking about.
The dude from Temptations, remember?
He was in Temptations.
And he knocks her up, but I guess he already had a previous wife with a previous kid. And at the end, she just tells him, like, you know what? I'm pregnant. It's yours, but I don't want nothing to do with you. You know, I'm gonna handle this baby by myself. And slams the door on him. And, you know, she was actually happy about it. So, yeah, all in all, that's pretty much, you know, the whole gist of the movie. Yeah, I love this movie.
Damn,
yeah, man.
We'll watch it again.
Damn, yeah. Man. I'm gonna have to throw that on. I'm getting some good vibes right now. Like I remember watching it, and everything you say is like I can see it playing on my head. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of want to watch it. Yeah, favorite scene or do you have a favorite memory from that movie by chance?
Just that one you mentioned when she said it, like I was like, yeah. Cause usually I don't condone stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, but the way he I'm like, word? Are you gonna be that disrespectful to her face? All right. I was like, go ahead. Yeah, you get the pass. Yeah. Like, yeah, you deserve all that, bro. Like, so that was that's the most memorable scene that I can think of in that movie. I like that they use the title, and then like there's an instance in the movie when all the women do like they take like a breath because it's called Waiting to Exhale.
Correct.
So they do emphasize.
They all have their instances where they actually.
Hmm. Yeah. Which is dope. It's good. Like I say, it's good.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker, bro. Yeah
he did his thing, man. For that being his directorial debut.
Baby.
And hands off to or hats off to Forrest Whitaker for that. That was really good interpretation of that novel. So right on. Yes. All right. Well, I guess I'll go next.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, you're right.
My movie is Boomerang.
Hey.
This movie came out in 1992, which I would have been between the ages of 11 and 12, had no business watching this movie.
Mm.
I don't know how. I can't even remember how I watched it, bro. Like, I shouldn't have been watching this movie. I guess you're going to find a way, because it's a lot of things I should have been watching that age, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to find a way. Like,
but, hey, you're young, and, you know, testosterone beginning this early, and, you know.
Especially when you hear this cast.
You know.
Because, yes, you will watch it when you hear who in this movie.
Yes.
I'm watching this movie, bro. Like, because, well, actually, let me give you a little information. Background of the movie. It was directed by Reginald Hudlin.
Okay.
Now, he was really prominent in the 90s. He did direct another one of my favorite movies, House Party. The original House Party, not that.
Whatever
they gave us, that remake they gave us last year. Okay. Oh, yeah, he had nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. But he did direct this one in House Party.
Yes.
He directed that movie on a budget of $42 million.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But the worldwide gross for this movie was $130
million. Damn.
Hey, this movie made all that and more.
Quadruple.
Shit.
Yeah, all that. Now, the scores are not very reflective of how I feel about this movie.
We've had this conversation now with some of these older movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much, it's definitely reflected in these scores. So IMDb is currently sitting at a 5.6 out of 10.
Hmm.
No. Hell no. Rotten Tomato, the tomato meter score is 48%.
Mm.
And the audience score is 59%.
Hmm.
Yes.
It's too low for me. Like, it's too low. And then a letterbox is a 3.5, which is, you know, everything's it's as average, far as the, it's consistent. But it's, to me, like I said, it's way above average movie. The premise of this movie is a successful executive and womanizer finds his lifestyle choices have turned back on him when his new female boss turns out to be even a badder deviant than he is. Basically, like she surpasses his whole isms, if you will.
Hold on,
she's getting a taste of his.
Getting a taste of his own medicine, if you will. Now check this cast out. You have Eddie Murphy playing Marcus. You have Martin Lawrence playing one of his friends, Tyler. You got David Alan Greer playing his other friend, Gerard.
Wow.
You got Chris Rock playing one of the mailroom guys named Boney T. They call him Boney T. Because if you don't know, back then, Chris Rock was Boney in the 90s. Yes. So that's his nickname. Of course, Mo just mentioned Layla Rashawn. Of course she's in this movie. Because it's Layla Rashawn. Do you not know who that is? Have you not seen this woman? Like, especially in the 90s, man. Like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. She plays a character named Christy. You got Tisha Campbell as Yvonne, Marcus's neighbor. And they may have a little past. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
You got Robin Givens as Jacqueline.
Damn.
You got Halle Berry as Angela.
Yeah. Oof.
You got Grace Jones as a character named Strange. We'll get to that later. You got Eartha Kitt, the 60s Catwoman. I don't know if you guys know what Eartha Kitt is.
Yeah, I remember
She's in there as Lady Eloise.
Damn.
And last but certainly not least, John Witherspoon is in this movie.
Oh, wow.
As Mr. Jackson, aka Gerard's dad.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like I say, I'm telling you, bro, like if you just didn't even know about this movie, but you seen that cast in the 90s, you was watching this movie, man. You're gonna check it out. So essentially, like I mentioned, Marcus is the main character. He's a vice president of marketing at a company. Okay. Now, this company, they're pretty much in charge of marketing for a cosmetic company called Chantress. Now, Chantress was transferring over to Lady Eloise, which is Eartha Kitt's character.
Okay.
And then eventually they're going to rebrand it to, you know, give it like a new face, basically.
Right.
And that's where you get introduced to Grace Jones's character, Strange. So she's going to be the new face instead of Eartha Kitt. Because obviously Eartha Kitt's older. They want a newer face. They want a younger vibe. So they pick her.
Got it.
So Marcus, you know, he like, yeah, I'm trying to get this this directing position. He's like, I'll do whatever it takes, right? So this man, whatever it takes, right? So who's in charge of the of Lady Eloise? Miss Lady Eloise, Eartha Kitt. Guess what he does with Eartha Kitt?
No.
Just take a wild guess of the activities they engaged in. Whatever it takes for Mr. Marcus. Like, if I gotta smash an old lady, so be it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he hooks up with Lady Eloise. So he's like, oh yeah, I'm good.
You know, some people like adventures, you know.
Hey, look, actually, no teeth.
I just
fix it in his
edible. That's a bonus, you know. mess with older women, you know. So he thinking I'm good, right? He like, you know, I'm in there. I slept with her. She loved it. She's digging me. But the next day he walks into the office and he see this chick. He like, he walked by at first, but he get that, you know, you get that, hold on. And this character is Miss Jacqueline, played by Robin Givens. So he see her, he like, oh, okay, what's good? He's trying to riz her up. Bro, she played this dude. She like, that was the most corniest shit. He like, what? Ain't nobody ever called me corny. What you talking about? So she kind of like messing with him a little bit. So they like, oh, you know, what are you doing here? And she explains like, oh, I'm going to where you're going to the, I feel like 13th floor or whatever. You know, I'm going there too. He's like, oh, you must be a model. She said, no, I'm not a model. She's like, she told him who she was. She got the director's position. He's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
He's like, no way. I spoke to Lady Eloise. I'm pretty sure I'm a shoo-in for her. She's like, nah. Lady Eloise don't have that power, bro. You basically sat with her for nothing. She's just a face. Yes, sir. And she kind of giggled because she knew, like, yeah, I know what you did, you nasty bastard.
Cold-blooded.
Yeah. So, but obviously he's going to be interested in Jacqueline because it's Jacqueline. Yeah. She's gorgeous. Robin Gibbons back then was a baddie too. So, mm-hmm. you know, obviously that's his next task is to sleep with her, right? So, eventually he does meet Layla Rashan's character. Now she plays like she kind of ditzy, man. She's like a black blonde. Like she played like a ditzy mm-hmm. character. But he finds a way to like gets her number. And by the way, like it shows you how you had to get a number back then. There was no cell phone. Pull your cell phone out. He had to get a pen and pad. I just like laughed at that because back then that's what we had to do. You didn't have no phone.
Yeah.
You just had to go in and get that pen and paper out. So yeah. You know, he got her number. Now Marcus has an issue with feet, if you will.
Huh?
Yes, Marcus. That's one of his requirements. Your feet's got to be on point. So he hooks up with Layla Rashan's character. My man pulls up them sheets.
Nah.
And sees them feet.
Nah.
Ooh, wee. Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. Imagine Layla Rashan gorgeous ass with some beat up feet. So obviously he ain't talked to her no more. So I thought that was funny. Like he just, you know, has a thing with feet. So but yeah, that's what it thinks. So anyway.
Wouldn't it bother me? I'll tell you that right now. Nah.
Hey, look, man.
Brother.
Don't see.
Nah.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. It depends how bad it is. Hers are pretty bad. But Jacqueline introduces Marcus and Martin Lawrence and David Alan Greer to Angela, which is Halle Berry's character. She works in the art department, basically, for the firm.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's actually a couple of scenes where there's like some foreshadowing because you can see like the chemistry between Marcus and Angela. You can see it. Yeah. It's like a friendly, like that. It's not no like I'm trying to raise you up. It's like, yeah, but you can see it. But it's kind of played to like whatever. They just having a little casual. It happens like at least to see one, like three times in this movie, I think. When you see, you're like, man, I can see like why is he not. It's Halle Berry. Yeah. Like I know Robin Gibbons look good too, but Halle Berry ain't no sleeper in this movie. She's gorgeous in this movie too. To be fair, this is probably to me my favorite look for Halle Berry because, man.
Like, I mean, she's been a babe for as long as I can remember.
This look is my, like her, like I like.
Is
this
it short
is
hair,
what I,
Holly?
It's not yeah. Short hair, you say what now?
It's short hair, Holly?
Yeah. That's how I thought you said. Yeah, short hair, Halle Berry is the best Halle Berry. I don't care. Nobody say.
I don't care what so, she. I don't care how she got eyes to.
Yeah. So basically they go on a work trip. Marcus had many attempts to try to hook over Jacqueline that failed, and she played him on like he tried to like, oh, I'm gonna invite you to dinner, I'm gonna cook for you. And she's like, nah, you try here, yeah, nah, we work together, just gonna be a strictly business dinner. Yeah. But you know that what he was planning on. You know he was trying to do that wrist thing. So she come over, she playing him like, oh, like she giving him the homie vibe. She's like, oh, you got any beer? She's like, oh, the game is on. He's trying to raise her up at the kitchen. She's like, I'm sorry, my head's somewhere else. Can we go watch the game? So she go to the living room watching the game. She chilling. She drinking. You can see him in the corner, like, soaking. Like, what is this? Like,
what I got to do?
Why? Like, so it's plenty of times where she kind of like, just like, nah, bro, you got to just chill.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, that one work trip, he did, it worked. So they started hooking up. They hooked up in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And that became a thing. Now, when they get back, old girl tell the whole office how good he is. Like, you know how usually dudes get to go into the, they're like, oh, yeah, I hit that.
Yeah.
She flipped it on him. So she did it to him. So he get into like a, what the heck? Why everybody laugh when I walk by? Why everybody like acting weird around me?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not happy about that, obviously. Man, but not only weird. That. But,
how would you feel about that if someone beat you to the punch? If a girl... Man, that would
be... If a girl started to everybody that they smashed...
Only way I'd be upset if she said whack. That's the only way I'd be upset. If she out there advertising for me, I'm like, hey, good looking. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. Like, if it was whack, I'm going to be like, damn. Nah, you know, that kind of hurt me.
Oh, she giving people, like, your time and stuff. Like, first time it was 10 minutes.
Yeah, if she get to doing like that, that's not cool. But and to be fair, she wasn't saying that about him. She was...
Yeah.
She's saying, like, okay. Yeah. So, but still, he's still like, I don't want nobody like looking at me acting weird around me and shit, especially Miss Strange. Because Grace Jones got a little hint of this and was like, So Jacqueline told me, you know how to work it in bed. He like, oh, hell no. Nah. So he now that was like his last, like he like, hey, hell no, no. Like, why are you, I don't want everybody like knowing my business. What we do is like, so he kind of went off on her. So she was like, well, whatever. Like you, like she was trying to like get close to him. He was like, nah, we good. Like, she like, all right, whatever. It's cool. So now he all sad. He all so bad and shit. Like, so that kind of translated to his work. So Halle Berry like, hey man, like you good? So Halle Berry does the friendly thing. She go talk to Jacqueline, like, hey, let me holler at you real quick. I thought that was dope because she pulled her to the side, like, hey man, like, whatever you're doing to Marcus, can you kind of like relax? She's like, what? Like, what do you mean what I'm doing to Marcus? She's like, well, you know, she like, even Jacqueline was like, what? It's kind of sound like you care. She's like, nah. Yeah. You know, I'm just saying, like, it's messing with his work. And it was because there's a scene in the movie where he let one of these, this horny old dude, man, this dude is nasty. Like what and one of the ads in the movie, it was like he had like a phallus fixation. So there's like girls licking a banana. There was girls like dangling cherries between their tongues, and he's nasty. So Marcus like, hey man, I like the commercials, cut off the nasty stuff.
Yeah.
But Marcus, you know, he over here pining over Jacqueline. Boy was like, hey, I got this ad. He's like, go ahead, dude, you got it. And dude was like, for real? You gonna let me do everything? He's like, yeah, man, go ahead. So that's when Angelo's like, hold on, something ain't right. Cause this dude, you can't get this man full range. This dude commercial, bro. When he showed this commercial to the board, so obviously that didn't fly and he got in trouble. Jacqueline had to give him a little break. Like, hey man, look, the board wasn't happy with that. You let them see that. You're supposed to be in charge of like seeing this stuff before we do.
Yeah.
Basically just saying, like, hey, they told me to give you a break, basically. So now this dude's talking around again. You know what I'm saying? So who comes to the rescue? Angela again. So Angela takes him out, like, hey man, you gotta get out of this funk, man. So she does like art with kids on the side. So she takes Marcus with her to see these kids, and he kind of, and it worked. It got him distracted. The kids was funny and shit. Like, so they kind of, you can see their friendship growing, right? You can see these little hints. You see where it's going.
So
let's see. There's a scene after that where it's Thanksgiving time now. And that's when you're introduced to Mr. John Witherspoon and his wife. They come through for Thanksgiving too. And Gerard's not very close to his family because, and they kind of like, Gerard is straight laced. Like he talks properly. But when you see his dad and his mom, they the epitome of like, they black. they on some hood stuff, bro. So it's funny because everybody thinking like, oh, well, his parents are going to be like him, but it's the total opposite, man. So anyway.
Right.
Giving dinner was interesting, bro. You got, there's a scene to where Marcus is talking to Gerard, and he's like, man, why are you standing in front of the bathroom looking sad? He's like, man, my parents been in the bathroom for too long. He's like, what you worried about that for? He said, they ain't there hitting it. Marcus like, what? They're smoking weed in my bathroom. He said, nah, man, they ain't there fucking. He's like, you tell me right now, you think your parents is in my bathroom having sex? And the moment he said it, that door opened, and here comes John Witherspoon. Ooh, wee, his clothes out. You know, he's sweaty. He's like, ooh, what's for dessert? He put his jacket on inside out. And then the mom walked out. I forget the actress now. I feel bad. I want to give her credit. But anyway, she walks out, her hair messed up. She walking out. Smacking her gun, like,
You know what it was.
Like, bro, his parents in this man's bathroom was smashing, bro. Like, it's just this is one of my favorite scenes in the movie, man. But anyway, after the dinner, Marcus was like, hey man, everybody leave, I'm gonna clean up, don't worry about it. But Angela like, are you sure? Because it's a lot of dishes in there. But he walks in the kitchen, and sure enough, it looked nasty in there. It looked like your typical Thanksgiving kitchen. Look bad. So he like, you know, Angela, I'm gonna take you up on your offer. So obviously, they clean the kitchen. They sit on the couch getting comfortable, you know. Find out that they both like Star Trek. So they vibing off that, but they eventually doze off. The next morning, Marcus wake up with a Halle Berry on his chest. So he's like, hold on. Got a Halle Berry right here. So he's like, let me see something. So he kind of like rubbing her head, kiss her forehead a little bit. Obviously, she wake up like, what's good? So you know what happens after that.
Smash.
Yeah, so they're kind of dating, I guess. I don't know. They're seeing what's going on or trying to, you know, work it out. But he tells Gerard, and Gerard like gets mad because him and Angela also had a good friendship too. So he like, bro, why are you doing this to her? And he like, why are you not happy for me, bro? Like, it's a good woman. He like, no, you don't. You're not that dude. You gonna dog my friend out? She's a good chick. No. So he kind of like, man, I'm tired of your shit. So they kind of have a little fight a little bit, you know. So he run off like, man, I ain't fucking with you, bro. Like, you gonna hurt her. And guess what he does? He hurts her, bro.
Damn.
Because old Jacqueline swoops on back in again. Back when he on top of his game, when he not in his little slump no more, he back to where she met him at. Yeah. He happy again. He with Halle Berry. He getting his stride back.
Mm-hmm.
She like, turned on now. You back. I like this. So Marcus end up sleeping with Jacqueline once again.
Damn.
Goes back home and try to sneak his old black ass in the bed with Halle Berry. And you can see the little scene where she opened her eyes. You're like, damn. You know, sneaking in the house, bro. What you doing? So the next morning, she confronted him like, yo, you was out late. What's good? But at least he told her like, hey, you know, I was hanging out with Jacqueline. Some old feelings came up and some things happened. But at least he was honest. Yeah. But man, she blew up. That's a good scene too. When she telling him like, you don't know what love is. She blow up on him. One of her iconic lines was mentioned in that scene where she said, love should have brought your ass home last night. So, and that was also on another banging soundtrack, the Boomerang soundtrack. That's another one you can just press play on. And Tony Braxton did a song titled Love Should Have Brought You Home Last Night. So I thought that was dope how they chose to do a song based off that line. But anyway, so now he ain't got nobody. No Angela. He ain't got no Jackie. He kind of has Jacqueline. But he eventually realizes at the end of the day that when he goes to hook up with Jackie again, he's like, I don't want to be here. He's like, I think I love Angela. She's like, why you here? He's like, exactly. And he get up and dip. She like, what the fuck? You here? You gonna leave? She had her lingerie on. She looking good. And he got up and dip. So the end of this movie is basically him confessing his love to Angela.
Yeah.
She just takes him back. You know, a good ending for everybody.
Yeah.
So it was a good movie, man. Like I said, it is so. I'm skipping over a lot of iconic scenes in this movie. You haven't seen it. Neither of you guys have seen Boomerang, right?
No, we've never seen it.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah, y'all definitely got to watch. Just all the cast alone. Did I give my rating for this movie? I don't think. I think I did. I got too excited.
You gave us the ratings for IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes.
I kept going in different minds. So, direction. Reginald Hudlin, like, dude, don't miss. But it wasn't I think this is back then where it wasn't like the directors weren't inclined to take creative risks with the shooting. They're just. Back in the 90s, just like, as long as you can hold the camera still, and that was all that was required, right? Yeah, so, I mean, he didn't do nothing fancy, so I did take a 0.5 score away from that, so I gave it a 0.75 for the director.
Okay.
I think that's fair. Yeah, the story, come on, 1 point. Easy.
Yep.
Great story. It was good to see black people in positions of, like I say, Robin Gibbons was director, Marcus was a VP. They didn't really mention what Gerard or Tyler did, but they obviously made money. You could see it. You know what I'm saying? Every black person in this movie was represented, like, you know,
we're
not always hood. We're not always shooting guns. We're not always smoking weed. We're not always like on the corner drinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We can be in suits too. Yeah.
It was just exactly. So, like I say, one for that. Performances. Come on now. Come on.
Full point. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Full point. It's not. Yeah. 100%. Now, This is one of those things, again, this is a 90s movie, so the visuals wasn't much to, like I said, as long as you can hold the camera,
Right.
I'm like, well, what do you give it? Because I can't give it a good score, but I don't want to give it a bad score, but I have to give it something. So unfortunately, I feel bad, but I gave it a 0.25. So I gave it a quarter star.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It wasn't nothing spectacular there. And as far as the score, they use the songs from the soundtrack in this movie. Come on.
Yeah. Bangers.
Bangers. So, and if, like I said, it's back in the 90s, we got the 90s vibes. So score, sound designer gave it a 1. So that brings my total score to a 4 out of 5. Highly recommend. This is my favorite rom-com and one of my favorite movies overall.
Wow.
So I spoiled it a little bit, but like I said, this is an older movie. You've probably seen it. But I skipped over some scenes too. If you want to watch it, you guys go check it out. Good flick, Boomerang. So that's my favorite rom-com.
All right. And last but not least will be myself. Now, mine was Loving Basketball. That's probably like, damn, I don't know how many times I've seen that movie. And I watched it again for the review, and it just reminded me of like my young love too. It was kind of like that. It was it's like, you know, you're exploring, like, what is, I just know I have feelings for someone, but what do I do with these feelings? I know, you know what I mean? And I like that because they broke this movie down into like four quarters. It's funny because it was love and basketball. So they broke it down. Like first quarter was done with their kids. Mm-hmm. Then quarter was doing like prom, whatever. Third quarter was like college second quarter was like prom, college. And then third quarter was when they got their careers kind of started. And then fourth quarter was when they ended up together. So IMDb gave it a 7.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes got 85. Audience score got 95%. And then Letterboxd got 3.7 out of 5.
Okay.
Directed by Gina Maria Prince Boothwood. Hope I'm saying that right. Budget of 15 mil. It got a 27.7 box office. So made profit. It's a rom-com. I mean, rom-coms aren't going to be spending that much money. So as long as they can make the money or more, I think that's...
And that was released what year? I can't remember.
2000.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now, really? I would say all-star cast, this one, you know, nothing but baddies, in my opinion. I hope I'm saying her name.
Sanaa Lathan.
Yeah. Omar Epps, Regina Hall, Gabrielle Union, Dennis Haysbert, who came out in Moe's movie.
Yeah.
Chris Warren, Tyra Banks, Boris Kodjoe, Alfre Woodard.
Alfre Woodard, yeah.
Yeah. Bro, I don't know if you know this, or maybe you can go, or you remember pretty clearly, but Gabriel Union and Regina Hall looked similar, so similar back in the day.
No, that's not, that's crazy. We talked about that when I was younger. No, they are very similar. I was like,
yo, what the? But yeah. So anyways, I gave the direction a 1 because... I mean, there were some cool angles, and it was, it looked good. Like, the way they made it, it was very, like, hip-hop-y, like, too. It almost reminded me like a hip-hop video.
Okay.
Sometimes. I give that a 1. Story, 1, because I hadn't really seen anything like that. Performance, I gave everybody a 1. Damn, I could feel the intensity the whole time. Visually, I gave it a 0.50, because it wasn't really, it looked good. Nothing really crazy.
Okay.
Sound design. Bangers, obviously. Yeah. They picked the right song for almost every scene. Like it was weird. Like I was like, I don't know, for some reason, like I heard these songs before, but for when I heard them in the movies, I don't know if they slowed them down or whatever. But it was like, I never heard it like this. Yeah. I don't know. So I gave that a 1. So overall, I gave this movie a 4.5 out of 5, which is pretty similar to what a lot of people gave it.
Yeah,
if you think about it. So. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying too far out there. So now to break it down, like I said, it gets four quarters. So the first quarter starts, you know, Monica, who is Sanaa, and Omar playing Quincy. They, you know, they're kind of like, I guess she moves in next door and they meet each other. She plays basketball and ends up hurting her. But that's kind of like where they start building up the relationship because he finds out that she's not like a typical girl. She's kind of like a tomboyish kind of girl, you know.
He's a little bit stronger.
Yeah, and then you know, later on, they kind of like he kind of musters up the courage and asks her out, and she says, you know, "It seemed like the whole time she's just kind of going with the flow, because she's not really sure of her emotions. Maybe that's why too, because she's very like she's probably more masculine, so she's maybe not sure. I don't know, but they break up. It's funny they hook up and then they break up because she's like. You know, she don't want to do what he says. She's kind of more masculine.
Yeah.
So you get to the second quarter where they're in high school already. And it just reminded me of high school too, bro. Like, I just remember those times too. It's just that you're figuring out what your emotions are. And when you see a girl, like, now you start to feel things, you know. And it's just funny. Like, and so they don't hook up, but they end up going to this prom with different dates. And that's when she kind of dresses up finally. And she actually looked good. I mean, I know she looked good, but they made her look Tom like Bush. Like Tom Bush, and then she looked good with her.
Yeah, she dressed up, yeah.
Yeah, that's when Omar, I was like, oh. I'm not going to lie, but he had Gabrielle Union. Like, she not, you know. If I had to choose, I would choose Gabriel, bro.
Remember? They didn't have it in the movie.
I wouldn't, but he still wasn't losing either way.
My man was winning the whole time. Listen, I don't be honest.
He was winning either way.
He was winning the whole time. Because he got her and Tyra Banks.
Mm.
I was like, damn. And then that was Tyra Banks back in the day when she was in her model prime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because they get along so well, because there's a scene that I like where Quincy's dad comes home, and Quincy's dad is like a former basketball player. So, you know, they live in a nice house and everything. And he's arguing with his wife and this and that. And he goes to her place, which is literally like right across. Like there's no fence, anything either. So he can just go over there.
Literally and, just the hill.
Yeah. So I also thought that scene was funny to me, because I wish I could have done that, bro. Because I know I'm sure similar. Yeah. You know, we grew up to similar households. And then like later on, like, you know, finally when they're in college, or actually before college, they end up hooking up. And then I like that scene when they finally get it on. And that's when you hear that Maxwell song.
Yes, sir.
This woman's work. But I was
yes,
like,
yes, sir. I was like,
you know, like it was funny because, man, I remember, like, I was going to ask you guys, like, do you guys remember your first kiss? Because they showed their first kiss. And I was thinking about it. I was, damn, what was my first kiss? And then I was like, the first time I got it on, too, I was like, that's just what it is. You're like discovering, you're figuring out. And I just like, you know, it was just funny. Like, because I mean, I didn't have music playing, but like, I was like, you know, I guess I could have.
Well, how old were you when you, for your first kiss?
18. Oh, no, first kiss.
I'm about to say.
No. I was in ninth grade. It was in a band class. We were on a bus, school bus, and I don't know, this girl was just freaky, bro. She's just like, you want to make out? Like, sure.
I mean, I guess technically for me, I think I was like 8.
Mm.
7 or 8.
Okay.
Little neighbor.
Okay.
Come on. Hey, Ryan, come here. I want to tell you something. You know how it is when you're young. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you something. I'll whisper in your ear. Okay. She whispered something. She'll run. She ran off. And I started to go, you know, I walk off. She's like, right, wait, come back. And she's like, I want to tell you something. I can't remember what she told me, man. Like, uh-huh. I'm like, what? Why you keep calling me back? So I went over there again. She did the same thing. She ran off. I'm like, who's this? She's like, wait. What? And so the third time, that's when she gave me a kiss. So I'm like, oh, okay. That's what she wanted to do.
Okay.
What she wanted to do is she didn't know how to do it. So she just kind of mustered the courage. So I thought that, now that I think about it, it's pretty cute. But yeah, that was like my very
first kiss.
But like as a teen, like in like older, my teen, oh man, do I remember that? Yeah, I don't know if I remember that. That's funny that I remember the one, but I don't remember.
Well, that's the thing, is like you always remember your first kiss. That's kind of like
that's true. Yeah,
like Mo, you remember your first kiss?
Think about it. Yeah, it was at a party we had at my dad's. One of my dad's. It was some girl. We were like playing at the jumper. Mm-hmm. We were the only two there. We were like holding hands, and then she got close, and then she just gave me like a kiss on the cheek. And she said, can I kiss you again? I was like, all right. And then she kissed me in the lip. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it was.
Yes, yeah, you always remember, bro. It's funny.
Yeah.
But it's funny because later, one of my favorite scenes is when Monica kept her hand up, and then the coach, because she made a shot, and she was like, she did that little, like, Kobe.
She was being flamboyant. Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I just remember, like, it's because it's just we're you know, you're young, you just,
you know,
you want to flex, bro.
Yeah.
But I just remember, like, damn, like growing up, you got to get humble. You get humble so quickly with the seniors and everything. I was like, damn, that's one of my first things. I always remember it too, because they made her ass stay like that, like, you know, stay and watch. So this movie doesn't go quick, but I like it because they break it down in 4 parts, and then the third quarter is when Monica goes to Spain. And she ends up breaking up with Quincy, because I don't know. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, Quincy reminded me of me when I was young, because I was very like, I would get mad and I would get very like, just I don't know, passive aggressive. And instead of just knocking it off, I would just be awkward with my girl. Like, I would never want to like, just get over it, bro.
Yeah.
But you know, she was trying to like get him over it. You know, like she said she was sorry and everything for not being there for him and when he needed, you know, her, whatever, which she was, but she got it. She didn't understand that, like, she also had to do her life, and she couldn't really stop her stuff for him, you know? And,
yeah.
But later on, she goes to Spain. She ends up winning the championship over there, and thinks about coming back. And when she comes back, that's when she comes back because Quincy got hurt in one of his games. He's playing with the Lakers. And that's when she sees him, that she's engaged with Tyra Banks. So then I always thought about that too. Like, you know, love is about timing. And it's like, they never seem to have found that time. They did at one point, but it was like So in this movie, they kind of showed different things of like just love, like what it is to like even just like to love someone, like actually love someone. Because later on, like, you know, she finally kind of like tells him like, oh, I stopped playing basketball because I'm not with you no more. Like, and then that's when he kind of like knocked it off. I was like, you know what? They play the game of basketball to kind of like get their feelings out the way and kind of,
yeah,
more or less, because they were, you know, they didn't want to, well, Quincy didn't want to really like tell her how he really felt. And then, you know, he won, and but he didn't let her go. So obviously that's kind of him telling her like, no, I do want you. But it's funny because he was engaged to Tyra and they were about to get married 2 weeks. And I am glad he chose, you know,
Senator. Obviously, but that's still kind of messed up when you think about
it. I know it's messed up. Yeah. I know, that's true. But honestly, I would have chosen Monica, because it ended up going well for her. I think like you have someone that knows you, that understands you, that like has been there for you, that like literally Daniel grew up with you, bro. Yeah. Like you can't. Literally. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, man, I like the movie because I was like, it would be nice if most men had that kind of like, you know,
love story
growing up, you know, right. But it doesn't happen that way. Yeah. And that, I don't know, like I saw that movie, like the ending, you know, she's in the NBA or WNBA and he's supporting her and they have a kid already. That's kind of how it ends. But I was just thinking like, man, like the love that they had was easy, but at the same time they found a way. And maybe because of technology, because back then, like when she was in her room thinking about like the breakup, when they broke up, she can't really text nobody. She's not like on social media. She can't get distracted. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with the pain.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, like I feel like a lot of stuff has been missed. And we talked about it in the last episode, but it's just funny how like these are older rom-coms and it just kind of reminded me of how what love used to look like.
Right.
What mm-hmm. all that shit felt like. And even like thinking back to my past relationships, I was like, whoa, like, man, it was different. Like, so it was a good like window of the past to the past and everything, but it was, you know, one of my top favorite movies, obviously, other than The Ladies. And then to be fair, I was going to tell you guys, I don't know why, but the black women back then just were cut from a different cloth. I don't know what they were made of back then, brother. Listen here. Oh, I don't. Oh my
God. You're not wrong.
Just gorgeous.
You're not wrong. Because when you think about it now, the
Regina women Regina Hall, bro, I was looking at her like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. I honestly forgot she was in that movie. So, like, man. Yeah, but she was bad back then.
She still looked like a baddie today, but, yeah. Man, I was like, good Lord, man.
But in their primes, though? Yeah, nothing compares to that, man.
Alrighty, guys. This has been another episode of the TBMP. A very special episode. Romantic, if you will. Join us, and don't forget to like and subscribe or wherever you guys watch us at, YouTube, Face, you know, all that social media. Don't forget to send us some comments, send us some feedback. You know, any news is better than no news. So whatever you guys want to chime in, let us know, please. Love to hear from you guys. So this has been another episode of the TBMP. Thank you guys for listening. This is Mo signing out.
This is Ryan.
And this is Rube.
Peace.